Honestly Unbalanced.
Welcome everyone, it's episode 132 of Honestly Unbalanced, and in this brutally honest episode we sit down with Rory Williams, known on Instagram as Rory_Strongdad. He's a fitness coach, father of two, and creator of the Strong Dad movement. We explore what it really means to be a modern father. We talk about the pressures dads face today, being present, being providers, being strong mentally, emotionally, physically. We discuss the silent struggles of fatherhood, you know, lack of support, loneliness, society's kind of limited celebration of committed dads. It's an awesome episode, and we talk about how Rory has grown on social media as well. So if you have a dad, or know a dad, or are a man, this episode is for you. Enjoy it, guys. But before we get going, I want to remind you of the yoga mat that I've been using for years. The best yoga mat in the world. They're grippy, supportive, and genuinely make a difference to how your practice feels and what you can do in your practice. Whether you're doing deep, strong vinyasa, or just chilling out in shavasana, these are the mats for you. They're life form. They're eco-friendly. They last a long time. They alignment guides completely actually change how you practice yoga. And because you are a listener, you can get 10% off anything on the Lifeform website with code HUSLER10, HUSLER10. And a quick one, feet. Let's talk about feet. Specifically, shoes that don't treat your feet like they're trying to smuggle them through the airport. I'm talking about Vivo Barefoot. Pretty much the only shoes I wear when I'm not being a barefoot dad or being a barefoot yoga teacher. They're minimalist shoes that let your feet move the way they're supposed to move. They're light, comfy, and they have shoes for every occasion. Whether you're chasing toddlers in the woods, lifting weights and want to interact with that flat surface beneath you, or whether you are kind of hiking to the local farmer's market, or maybe hiking in a deeper wilderness. But if you want 20% off, that's 20% off the best barefoot shoes on the market, then code HUSLER20, HUSLER20, will get you 20% off Vivo Barefoot. Now, enjoy the episode. Honestly Unbalanced. Before we get into the conversation, I want to just say that I've given Rory permission to lay into me as much as he wants, okay, in terms of kind of fitness and health and me being accountable. So if at any point Rory seems harsh, he's been given kind of full permission to go ahead. I'm not saying, maybe you won't be harsh, but if you are, I've given you permission to do that. But let's start with what is like a strong dad in your term. So obviously strength is like physical, you got biceps, you're big. So it's strong in that sense. But in terms of kind of the modern man, what makes for a strong father?
Yeah, so you have the physical component, right? Which is lifting weights, going for runs, everything like this. But I think these days it's so much more than that. Yeah, strength in the full sense of the word. So the ability to show up to work on time and perform your best, the ability to come home and interact with your kids and support the mother in the best way possible. Like, to me, that's what strong and strength is, right? It's so much more than the physical side of things.
You mentioned there the mother, okay? And maybe in the modern world, like, the mother and the dad get different amounts of attention. Like, you know, obviously, like, in like the mother goes through the long 9 months and then the labor and the hormones and everything, but to some degree maybe the dad is slightly unappreciated or unacknowledged from the very first moment. Like, I don't know about your birth story, but like even at the beginning when the baby is born, potentially like many dads have almost, you know, spent 9 hours witnessing what they perceive to be their wife almost dying and the baby passing away as well, like, you know, God forbid, they've witnessed potentially the people they love most going through immense pain. And then obviously their life completely changes and they do the best they can. But there is a very little, I guess, celebration of good fathers that are trying to like be present and trying to be modern, but also trying to provide and et cetera. Like, how many dads that you work with do you feel have had that and struggled with that, a lack of appreciation or acknowledgement?
The vast majority. I think as fathers, I think it's very easy to become invisible, you know, and I think that's culturally. I think even if you go on social media, there's so much support for the mother, which they deserve, which is incredible. But actually, the pro father stuff comes in scarcity, right? And I just think that's a very good example of how much they're undervalued and underappreciated in today's society. And I've definitely felt that way before, where I get up, I go to work, I do what I do, I build my business, and then I come home, and then I'm expected to be this perfect father. And again, I don't feel like I get seen as much as my wife, and I think social media is a very good snapshot of that kind of culturally, in the real world.
It's I saw someone share a reel the other day, which was like it was about like the wife, but again, this is sweeping generalization because every relationship is entirely different. But the mother not being able to progress with their career, perhaps in certain situations. But then the father's point of view was he misses all these moments, and it was just a slideshow of all these magical moments every day with the toddlers growing up. And this particular guy, due to financial circumstance and situation, missed everything. He would leave the house when his kids were getting up, get back when they're in bed, at least in those early years, and his time with them was limited to bits of the weekend. And that's what dads miss on. Like, I don't know, but if I could be a stay-at-home dad, I'd love that.
Yeah, be incredible. I think, that is the reality for everyone, isn't it? That grind that people find themselves in. And yeah, like it's so hard. I mean, as well as I do, it's so hard after a really intense day at work to come home and actually enjoy that moment, to be in that moment, be present with the kids. And at that point, your wife needs a break as well. So, maybe she's having quite intense conversations with you as well. And before you know it, the kids are asleep, you need to go to sleep, and then the cycle continues. And yeah, I think so many dads miss out on like the pure like joy of parenthood because they're just caught in this world of no respite. Now I'm not under yeah, sorry.
I suppose, and also almost don't have other dads to talk to for support. Part of that is time, maybe, but another part of it is our kid goes to a nursery, and automatically there was a mom's WhatsApp that was created. No dad's WhatsApp. Like, Holly and I drop and pick up Sonny kind of pretty much the same amount to his nursery. But there's no like conversation with dads. There's no support for the dads. Dads might get to go to certain things, but the women, they're all like an amazing social group, and they're talking to each other. And like I've had one conversation, I think, with another dad about more actually practical stuff than actually like how are you doing and support and acknowledgement of that. It's more like, oh, well, have you read this book, or have you tried this gadget?
It's true. Like, I mean, so many guys, the ones that I'm working with, myself as well, like when you become a dad, like it can feel like you're on an island. It can be very lonely, acutely lonely, because again, we're in the grind, but also my wife goes to Tula Mamas, where the kids get all together and they sing great songs and everything like this, and they all get together and have coffee and everything afterwards. I don't get that. The guys that I work with don't get that. And maybe you have a fleeting conversation with someone at work, but I don't think there's a lot of community out there for dads in particular, right? And if you are talking to them, it is gadgety stuff or it's surface level and there's no real like depth there.
I guess moving forwards is what we can do. I guess what dads are dealing with is a society where perhaps, I guess, back in the day, men would work significantly and be happy with that. And they'd go to the pub after work, and there's a chance that they didn't even change a nappy at any point in their life. And I know plenty of like old school dads that never even touched a nappy. But the modern dad, I guess, due to society changing in good ways, of course, often still needs to provide, whether it be equal or perhaps in some situations more, but still needs to provide, but also wants to be an amazing father, wants to be present, wants to be a good role model, wants to actually spend time bathing their children, etc. And I think it's almost like a new identity, a type of dad that hadn't existed before and still certainly doesn't exist in certain other cultures or countries, but maybe like the UK dad, influenced by social media and influenced by changing more equal society, is really struggling to find their feet. So what do you think? And I know you talk a lot about this on social media. What steps can dads take, I guess, to find ownership of themselves and stay kind of strong despite and maybe a confusion and lack of support.
Yeah, I think the thing that I talk about a lot is leaning into physicality. You know, it's so easy for guys to just get in this selfless state where they give so much of themselves to everything, their work and their families and everything like this. They forget about themselves. You know, and before they know it, you know, 2 years in, they look in the mirror and they don't even recognize the guy looking back at them. So for me, first and foremost, you need to kind of reclaim your physicality. Like, go and train, go for runs, go lift some weights, go for a walk in nature, eat good food, like stop drinking alcohol, things like that. So then you can look in the mirror, you can be happy with that guy looking back at you. And then that sort of creates an energy at home, doesn't it? Like, you have more energy to show up for your kids, you have more energy to show up for your wife. You give off a you have these ripple effects into all of the other relationships that you have as well. And I think it starts with the physical self. Like, if you as a dad can sort yourself out in that respect, I think that goes a long way to making it all work and fitting it all in, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, completely. So there's obviously many men might start with, running and the like as an easy option to get out. And obviously my bias nowadays at least is kind of yoga and mobility stuff. And you've talked a lot about the emphasis of kind of the importance of strength training, particularly when you approach 30s and 40s. I know it's important for women as well, but can you talk to that a little bit? Like why? What do you think is the power in strength training, in that sense?
So I think there's something inherently quite masculine about going to lift some weights, which I don't think is a bad thing. You know, I think there's the pendulum has swung a little bit, you know, where at one point it was all masculinity is bad. I think it's kind of coming back the other way. And I think it's a good thing for men to be masculine. I think lifting weights is a good part in that, you know, and it's a very good outlet for men in particular. But also beyond that, we have like testosterone levels. When we get into like our 30s, you know, late 20s, naturally testosterone levels are going to start to drop. You know, and we want to protect the testosterone that we're producing. So lifting weights and, you know, getting leaner or whatever it is a great way to kind of elevate testosterone levels. So for me, I think strength training plays a massive role in just longevity. You know, me as a dad, or maybe a future granddad, if I'm lucky enough, like, I want to be fit, strong, athletic in my 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s. You know, I don't just want to be alive. I want to be able to be fully engaged and be able to run around after my kids and grandkids and everything like that. And I think, I can't remember the exact study or the exact kind of results of whatever it was, but sort of saying that one of the easiest ways to determine, I don't know if that's the right way to say it, or of whether someone's going to die or not, is their muscle mass and their muscle density as they get older. So I think the foundations of that need to be laid now, like in our 30s, in our late 20s, even though it's probably the busiest time of our lives. So yeah, for me, like, strength training has to be number one. And again, I'm biased here, but I think that has to be number one. And then you can sort of ripple down from there.
I think one of the studies for years, one of the biggest correlations between a type of strength and longevity was actually grip strength. And then most recently, they found, I think, a stronger correlation with longevity and the ability to stand on one leg. And that and all kind of strength related, really, and stability. And sadly, one of the biggest killers for people as they get older is falling over. And not recovering, beyond the cancers and etc., it's falling over and not being able to get up. And I actually saw her like a sad video of a grandma. I'd say grandma, probably in her 50s, pushing a pushchair. The pushchair was stuck. She fell over, and the pushchair started to roll into the road,
Saw that,
and she couldn't get up. Okay, and it was just didn't have the strength to get her body off the floor enough speed. Luckily, someone else kind of stepped in. But yeah, I don't want to be that. So I'm guessing, when you were younger, pre-kids, your focus wasn't on longevity, I imagine. I imagine it was partly vanity, partly, I know you were obviously PT for the job for the army, so you had to look the part as well and be the part. So partly it was career, partly it was we all want to look good and just you feel good as well. So talk to me about how it changed for you when you became a dad, like what these targets changed and how your training then changed as a result.
You know what? My training didn't actually change a lot. You know, I kind of continued on the path I was on, but I think the motivation behind it sort of moved. You know, definitely less about vanity these days, you know, and it is about, to me, it is about longevity, but also protection of where I'm at. You know, I think when you become dads, especially with two under two or two around 2 years old now, like it would be so easy for me to just pack it in and give it up, you know, which I think a lot of people do, you know, and not because they can't be asked, but because they have a lot to kind of navigate and a lot to manage. So for me, it kind of came, it was all about maintenance. Like, what do I need to do to maintain my physique, but to maintain my muscle mass and to kind of maintain my health? And then that would be my non-negotiables. Like, every single week without fail, I will train 3 times a week of strength training and I will get one run in. Like, no matter what happens, unless I'm really ill or something like, that is my bedrock. That is my foundation. And that's still enough for a lot of people to kind of move the needle and keep kind of ticking over. So I think for me, it was more of like a, it was more of the same, but I just didn't want to allow myself to fall by the wayside a little bit, you know? And I think that's where a lot of people kind of get it wrong. But also, yeah, like longevity and things like this definitely come into play, but I didn't have to modify a lot. You know, I had to keep just doing what I was doing essentially.
And on, I was going to ask, like, on a practical level, how you manage to fit it in, I guess, both purely time-wise and energetically as well. I think from, like, stalking you, your wife with an athletic background as well.
Yeah, she's
Is that?
PT.
Yeah, so she understands it, I guess, very well. So yeah, so did you, any tips or any struggles that you had trying to actually fit it into to get to where that's what I face right now is struggle, and especially as a self-employed individual trying to make it a priority.
I mean, it really depends what side of the fence that you sit on here, but I am a big believer of win the morning, win the day. You know, like,
Okay.
I truly believe that. I am someone, I mean, we're filming this, it's 9 o'clock at night, the kids are in bed. I would typically be in bed by this point.
Yeah,
You know, like
ditto.
half eight, the kids are in bed, I'm asleep. You know, and I will get up if I have to at 4 or 5 o'clock to get my training in. I have a little like garage gym out the back that I would go into, you know, and I would get it done in the morning because I feel better when I do that, you know, and then I get up, I can have like some proper, a proper breakfast with loads of protein. I could jump in the ice bath if I'm doing that currently. I could do some journaling, whatever. But then I set myself up for the rest of the day. So the pressure is then off. You know, I think if you delay it until the evening, then you kind of fall. You know, like you always, there's always something that comes up, especially with kids, where it's like, oh, I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it tomorrow. And then it never happens. And all it takes is 2 weeks. And then you're out of routine. When you're out of routine, it's very hard to get back in it. You know, it's a momentum game, isn't it? When you have momentum, it's very easy. When you don't have momentum, it's hard. So you just need to keep the ball rolling. And if that means you get up at 4, 5, 5:30, 6, whatever time, that's what you got to do.
I'm looking from you now for some either motivation or abuse. Imagine I'm one of your clients, and I'm you can go either way. I also have a garden gym, which is actually obscenely well equipped. Okay, we've got cardio machines, punch bags, squat racks, okay, and an ice bath in the garden. And you know, my working schedule is a bit obscene, but and I've tried to create so many routines because I kind of know what I'm doing in the gym, like that's my background. And I've even actually been working quite hard with ChatGPT. I actually, you can do some cool stuff. Like I gave it a list of all my gym equipment and being like, based on the ideas of Jeff Nippard, if he had this equipment and like, and I kind of really geeked out with it. And I made this amazing routine. I made the most amazing Excel document to track this routine. And again, I've tried to get up early and I don't even sleep in the same room as my wife. And because our toddler is kind of waking up between 5, maybe even 4, well, maybe even 4:30 at portion 6, I feel like I can't leave the building. And then often I get back at night at maybe like 8, 9 if I'm working in London. But today is a good example of, in theory, I haven't, all I had to do today is work from home. I had a window where I dropped my kid off at 8, picked him up at 3. So, you know, decent window, but had to drop a car to get an MOT and stuff and do a social media post. It's like, I'll do it at lunch. I'll do it then. I'll do it before, I'll do it quickly between bath, my bed and bath and this podcast. Nothing's happened. And then I'm telling myself, I'm going to do it afterwards and I won't. So what do I need to hear?
Oh, God. I mean, I would never be here to abuse you, you know, by any stretch of the imagination. But I think a lot of time it's realigning. Sometimes it's having a look in the mirror, right? And being like, am I happy with the path that I'm
Am I naked at this point?
on? You're naked at this point. Yeah, 100%, 100% you're naked. Like, am I happy with the path that I'm on? And if you're not, then you need to accept that reality and then decide to do something different. Like, that's it. Like, as human beings inherently, we all have the ability to make a decision to be better. You know, you may not get it right every time, and there will be times where motivation drops, and there will be times where you don't go and do it. But I think the skill is having short windows where you don't do anything at all. You know, you recognize when you've fallen, and then you have the ability to kind of get back up again. And sort of for me, if I am out of routine for whatever reason, it's kind of leaning into the fact and embracing the fact it's going to be difficult to build it again. You know, like, it isn't easy to get into a training routine as a dad, especially if you've had a layoff for 6 months, 3 months, 2 weeks. It isn't easy. Accept that. Make that part of the experience, you know, because you know that after 2 weeks, if you did it for 2 weeks every day or every other day for 2 weeks, you would feel a million times better. So it's kind of getting over that initial hurdle. And then the ball is rolling. Momentum is on your side. And then you can push it and push it and push it. And then maybe you fall off again, but so be it. Learn, why did you fall off? What do you need to do next time to make sure that that isn't a reason you fall off the bandwagon? And then go again. So as long as you're learning from it, then I think we're all good.
I think it's really valuable what you said there about it taking time. I think maybe in the modern world, we're too used to quick fixes, whatever that might be. So quick fix in terms of, you know, do this program in 6 weeks, you'll look like this. You know, those obscene kind of body transformations that some places share, which obviously they're wearing heels now and a different bikini and it's a different lighting. And or people expect, like whether again like ayahuasca trips, etc. And they have a dramatic, sudden change that kind of fixes everything or breaks everything, depending on the individual. So I think people often are looking for that moment. And maybe deep down, that's what I'm looking for, is something that's going to make me think, oh God, I need to just now get. And I thought that would happen when I had my first child. And for a while, I did, like, you know, get bigger and stronger again, and then lapsed. You know, for the wedding helped. I think self-employed, being self-employed makes it a little bit harder, but maybe that's what I'm waiting for. Something, hopefully not too dramatic, to make me think, oh. And I was motivated a little bit for a while by having an underwear photo of myself on my phone, but then I kept getting my phone out, like in the tube, etc. And I think people must have thought, like, that's a weird guy. Either he fancies really weird men. Or what, he's got a photo of himself as a wallpaper. But that was a brief motivator. How do you have any tips for guys getting through that initial stage of, okay, it's going to be hard?
So get really clear on what it is that you're trying to achieve. Now, whether that's an aesthetic, whether that's a performance goal, whether that's just trying to integrate it into your life. So be really clear on that. Then what I have behind this camera is like a yearly calendar, right?
Ooh.
But not one that is, you know, 10 pages every month, like the whole year. And then every day I get it right. So I hit my training, I hit my nutrition, I do my water, I take my supplements, I have a whole list of things. I put a big red cross through it. Even on a rest day, and it's an intentional rest day, and I actually rest, I put a big red cross through it. And at the end of the month, I will look at the red crosses. And the idea is to get a chain of them. And once you have like 31 red crosses, there's no way in hell you're not going to do it. So it kind of plays into childhood psychology. I don't know, but it kind of taps into that a little bit. And all of a sudden, you don't want to break the chain. But also, it gives you a really good perspective when you look back at the year and think, you know what, I actually did pretty well there, considering. You know, so I think having like a visual representation of how you're doing is quite a powerful tool.
And do you think part of that accountability, or part of the thing that's good about it, is that it will, at some point when your kids get older, you'll be able to show them, like, look, this is what I'm doing. This is what we all should be doing. This is me being like an inspiration to you guys as well. We should all do this together. Like, is part of it that, like, leading by example for your children?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know. I haven't gone into too much depth around that because I think for me, it is quite about me, you know, and it's something that I like to do. And if I inspire the kids off the back of that, then brilliant. But I wouldn't say that's like a motivator. You know, I guess I know that if I'm not training, if I'm not looking after my mental health, if I'm not doing the journaling or the cold water immersions or anything like this, then I'm not as good a man. You know, I'm not as good as dad, and my tolerance levels are lower. Like my second one was born 5 months ago, so similar to yourself. My toddler would drop some scrambled egg if I wasn't training, and then I would find myself getting really frustrated about it. And it's like, well, Why am I getting annoyed by that? He's a toddler. He's going to drop the scrambled egg. But when I train, when I do all of these things, my tolerance levels are better and I'm less kind of reactive. So I guess in some way, that's probably in the back of my mind somewhere. But yeah, like I know if I don't do these things, then I'm not who I want to be. So that's why I prioritize them.
So you're seeing it really, you're framing it as part of your duty of the dad and part of your service. It's although kind of you have said it is for you, I think on a deeper level as well, you're thinking it's part of the role of being a dad and you being a value to the family.
Yeah, 100%. Like it isn't enough to go and earn the money and provide financially. That isn't enough anymore. You know, you have to lead by example. You know, and I truly believe that. And I'm not here pretending I'm perfect and I get it right all the time. Like, no, like I don't. I'm always getting it wrong. But as long as you can kind of bring yourself back and be like, okay, well, what makes me feel good? What makes me the best man? Well, do more of that. You know, and I think you're a sum of what you most regularly do, not what you sometimes do. So as long as I
Completely.
keep kind of showing up in some capacity and giving it my best, then that's enough.
Nice. And worshipping the mother. I thought you're right about worshipping the mother. I think that's key. That's
Absolutely.
absolutely key. And be on the same team. Let's talk on a more practical level about, like you mentioned, kind of supplements, etc. you take. So
Yeah.
what would a man, I'm guessing you're kind of the same age as me. So I'm 36. You are
34.
okay, man, pretty much.
Yeah.
Okay, so what would a man of our age take? Okay, what kind of stack are you taking?
So I keep it pretty simple. I take protein powder because it helps me hit the protein targets that I need to hit. I would take some creatine every single day without fail. You know, I think that's pretty much universal for anyone out
Five
there.
grams.
I actually go more. I go like 10 to 15.
Oh God, okay. Oh,
So
that's significant.
there's new studies on this actually. So you have a higher threshold than you think. So yeah, I go for like 15. And then I would take vitamin D, and then omega threes. That's it.
Okay,
So
that's it.
I keep it pretty simple. You know, so there's a whole like elaborate array, isn't there?
Like, there's all sort of like if you like Andrew Huberman podcast, you're like, I've got like Rodelia, what's it called? Rhodesia addendum and things. There's all sorts of kind of weird stuff. I keep it simple. I've done Athletic Greens for years, and there's a new one called IM8. Beckham's involved in it in some sense, and it's like Athletic Greens, but with more in it, including our NDA plus and a lot more transparent in terms of quantities. But I don't take, what is it, vitamin D? Well, it's probably included in that, to be fair. But what's a vitamin D benefit?
So essentially, it helps with like muscle growth and recovery. I mean, you get it from the sun, right? But in the UK or Norway, for example, where we don't get a lot of sunlight in the winter, then I would supplement with vitamin D essentially, just to help kind of normal regulation of my body essentially. But in the summer, like I would probably drop it because I don't really need it.
And creatine-wise, like a lot of people think creatine is just for muscle building. And like back in the day, back in the uni days, everyone took it because the idea was you just get more water in your muscle so you look bigger. But now, like I know, like grandparents that take it, and obviously lots of women take it. Like it's known as kind of a health supplement in many senses, including brain function, isn't it?
Yeah, 100%. Like cognitive health. I think there's a link between taking creatine and dementia, you know, and kind of helping in that area as well. Like I don't know full depths of that, so I hope I'm not butchering it. But I feel like there is a link between Alzheimer's or dementia and taking creatine, and that's a good thing.
Minimal side effects. It used to be talked about that hair loss was a slight side effect, but you're a testament to the fact that it's not a side
No,
effect.
so far so good. No hair loss. No hair loss.
Cool. You're good. And then what does your kind of you said like three weight sessions a week. And I'm guessing like what you do yourself. And I think this is actually always important for anyone in fitness or yoga well-being. Someone that has their own practice, whatever that might be, or training, and has clients. That I'm a firm believer that what you do doesn't need to be exactly what your client does. Okay, whether it be because, like for me, I teach handstands, but I don't care about handstands in my personal life anymore. I can kind of still do them, but nowhere near as well as I could, but I can still teach them really well. Okay, and for you, I'm sure like what you're doing is a far higher level potentially. I don't know than some of your clients, etc. So what do you think either, I guess, what does yours look like compared to what you think an average dad needs to get on it?
So mine at the minute, because I do mix it up, just dependent on how I feel and if I'm getting bored or anything like this, you know. But typically, I would just do a push. a pull, and a lower. So,
Very simple.
yeah, very simple. Anything involving pushing. Then I would add a Metcon at the end, so a bit of metabolic conditioning, 10, 15 minutes of cardio. Then I would do a pull, so big compound lift, deadlift, and then you would put some like pull downs, pull ups, things like that in there. Again, with a Metcon, and then lower. So, back squats, hip thrusts, things like that. And then, yeah, I typically wouldn't do much of a Metcon after a leg day because I'm pretty cooked by that
You're
point.
done.
And then I'd have like a run maybe at the weekend. I may fit a few runs in around that, but that would be my kind of baseline. And then I can up it, to 5 days a week. I'd probably throw in two full bodies in there as well on a good week. It really does depend. It really does depend.
Of
And I'm
course.
not someone who's, I don't confine myself to too many boundaries. Like I like to keep it pretty fast and loose.
But do you call yourself a hybrid athlete? Have you
Don't
heard that
know.
term, that new
I've
term?
heard the term. I've heard the term. Probably, but not intentionally or anything like
That's
that. You know,
not on your social media image. That's not what you not it's not how you introduce yourself as at parties. I'm a hybrid athlete.
definitely not. No, I did a high rocks once, and it was good. Like I did love it, but it's a bit culty for me. I like
I'm
to do
still
my own
confused
thing.
by that term. For me, it just means you're fit, like you're quite fit and quite strong.
Yeah,
Like,
you lift weights and you run every now and again. Right?
I would love to sh slightly shift angle towards like your social media, etc. And like I normally with every guest, I scroll down to kind of get to their beginnings, and that was quite an effort for you. Like your output is impressive. And then I tried to find the moment where it all changed in terms of like the aesthetic that you were going for. And I think it was July 2024, so not that long ago. And I had to scroll down pretty far to get to July 2024. So there's so many questions I've got to ask you about this approach. And this applies to everyone, with mom, dad, anyone that uses social media. What happened in July 2024? Did you meet a videographer? Did you do a video course? What happened?
No, what happened? So, ugh, I can't remember the exact date, but I used to work with anyone and everyone in the online world. Anyone who wanted to be fit, get stronger, whatever, I would take them on as part of my like online community, and I would coach them through whatever it is they were doing. I was walking down the beach in Cornwall with my wife at some point, and then we were having a whole discussion about who it is that I want to train, who do I enjoy training the most, so like who do I want to bring into our community. And it was a split second decision to be like, look, from here on out, I'm going to be training dads. And obviously, I have a business. Like, I then started talking to dads as a dad. And then all of a sudden, my business sort of rocketed. And off the back of that, because I feel like dads felt seen, right? There was someone that they could trust, or I just happened to be the guy. Or what I was talking about resonated with so many people, and my business sort of took off. So at that point, I was like, well, I need to kind of double down on this, right? Because a business, I need to provide for my family. But actually, I just fell into this niche that I absolutely loved working with. And my messaging like shifted from kind of the practical stuff, like take this creatine, lift this amount of weights or whatever, to more in depth, talking about the real pain points of being a dad. And then that was getting a really good response. So ever since then, I've just sort of doubled down that route. And yeah, one a day, every day, pretty much for the last year at least.
And then in terms of like the quality there, like do you have any kind of like influence in terms of like brand input? Because the branding is kind of looking quite clean. The videography is quite clean and stylized. Are they all you? Do you have people? Do you pay people?
So yeah, I have a videographer. Every few months we'll get together, maybe 6 weeks, get together. We'll do a shoot in Devon somewhere. Sometimes it's off the cuff. We'll just go down to the local beach. Other times it would be in Dartmoor or something like that. And he has like drones and everything. And yeah, and then the reels or the content that I create will be taken from all of the different shoots over like the last year. And I keep kind of mixing them in, but for me, like the videography isn't the main part of the reel. It's the
Of
messaging that I'm
course,
putting
yeah.
on it. Yeah.
That's key. 'Cause anyone can make a nice video to some degree. Not everyone can look good in a video, but like a nice video is a nice video. And a nice video in itself won't get lots of traction. It's the messaging behind it that's key. But you kind of need to invest in the imagery for people to even get to the point where they're reading it. 'Cause they want to know that
Definitely.
you are. And whether it be good or bad, people would argue, lots of people have very good, interesting things to say. They're not heard enough. But ultimately, you need to amplify your voice, don't you, on social media? And that requires, as you are, like investing money and time into making your voice amplified. And then you've done that in a relatively short period. Like that's a good amount of growth, isn't it, in a year?
I think went from 7,000 followers up to 84,000 or something within the year, which has been pretty rapid, pretty crazy, pretty surreal. You know, I'm not someone who was ever big on social media, as in I was never that invested in it. I kind of just did it because I needed to for my business. I remember a few years ago actively despising people with large followings. I don't know why. It was just something that I did. And now I'm not saying that I've got a massive following. I don't really, you know, like it. But yeah, like there has been a shift. And I kind of just realized the power in that, you know, like there's a real sense of purpose now that I say a message and people are actually reading it, you know, which is really validating and really nice.
And since that time was kind of client base growing exponentially, is there a point where you're going to kind of transcend it and do something different, do you think? What's the future for you? And what are the goals?
Yeah, I mean, it's grown massively, and we're not a sort of coaching service that is looking to infinitely scale. Like we have an upper limit of how many guys that we work with, because I want to make sure that every person that we're working with is looked after properly. You know, because I want to know every single dad that I'm working with in detail. I want to know his previous traumas. I want to know what he wants to get out of this, his struggles, where he's winning, where he's losing. So I have conversations like this with the guys every single day. And I have a little team. So I have a guy called Ravi and Matt who help sort of deliver that program as well. But we keep things really tight and I absolutely love it. I wouldn't change it for the world.
Yeah, I
Like,
think that's so important that I've been involved once with an online fitness program. Well, actually, yeah, once properly, where it was sold as a program, and the typical strategy was the recruitment was I'm looking to work with eight men. Do you think? Oh, I want to be one of those eight, and I was really really disappointed. It was like the most generic program, and, access to an app or not really an app. It was in a subsidiary thing, but access to a platform. With some PDFs on there that were okay. And then just the most generic training program. And I thought, okay, well, I'm going to get to meet this person a few times and chat and talk about progress or form. And it was just like one initial meeting to explain the PDF, really, like talk through it. And then another 10-minute meeting later on, being like, okay, well, let's change it up a little bit. And that was it. And it was actually, quite costly.
Yeah, it's a different one. Like, it's a different product, you know, what we offer. Like, we sort of blend the physical world with like the mental health world, you know. And if you can't adhere to the program, like, I want to talk to you about it. Like, why? Why can't you adhere? Is it self-sabotage? Is it complacency after short-term results? Is it the fact you just simply don't enjoy it? And if that's the case, like, cool, we'll modify it, we'll move it, we'll adapt it as many times as we need to, 1,000 times over until we get the result. No, so like I say to anyone we work with, as long as you talk to me, and we're never going to tell you to stop talking to us, like we will get you there, which is why we get the results that we get, because we go all in with that person, with that individual. And it's not just on a Monday, everyone's doing this. On a Tuesday, everyone's doing that. You know, our guys travel all over the world. If they go to a hotel and they only have certain equipment, we'll modify it. If they're at home, because I mean, one of the guys in the program's lad's got cerebral palsy. Like, he has to train at home. He's got one set of dumbbells and resistance bands, but he needs to change his life. So we'll make it work, because there's a million ways we can go about doing this for each and
Nice.
every dad wherever they are in the world.
That sounds wonderful. Sounds like you're doing good work.
There's one spot left. You can have
I've got my little chat GPT thing
it.
that I'm
Can't compete
going
with
to
that.
try and get on. I'm sure it's rubbish. I'm sure it's ultimately it looks good, but what we can, again, we can create the most amazing programs in the world, and this is why I think there's always going to be a need for PTs. Like chat GPT is good, but it just gives you the words, and you can ask it for like motivational books and talks and the like, which I have done. But it still doesn't do the work. And did you ever work as a PT like in a normal gym?
No,
Because I
no.
think a lot of PTs and gyms, I know a lot, a lot of people come into them because they want to be heard. They want to have a conversation with someone. They're lonely, actually. And I've always found that over the years, with not all but some clients, it's kind of actually what they want is just someone to talk to that isn't their friend, that isn't their family. That it does want the best for them, and yeah, they're just up for the conversation. And you can't, ChatGPT can't provide that. And then you also, I guess, to some degree, feel guilty. Like if you're working one-to-one with someone and you don't do the thing, you feel guilty about telling them that you haven't done the thing. And all of that stuff has power, doesn't it?
100%. Like the community aspect of what we do is the biggest thing. That's why people stay. It's not for me. Eventually they know how to do it themselves. They have the skill set, they have the tools to do it. It's because we're bringing dads from all walks of life, from all over the world, and we have loads of different community groups, but they just talk about anything from like parenting advice to what watch to buy, whatever it is. And being a dad, like we talked about earlier, like can be lonely. And to have like an outlet of other men in a similar position to you who aren't knocking on your door, who you're not going to bump into on the street, is really powerful for these guys. Myself included, like I take part in all of the group chats because I feel like I need to have, I feel like I need that conversation because it comes in scarcity in my real world now. So yeah, but yeah, I think the accountability is obviously a big part as well. Someone breathing down your neck to be like, you said you were going to do this. Why
I
not?
that's why I kind of need tough love. I went to like all boys schools, which is all full of people being horrible to you, but not really meaning it. Which is kind of, I think, preferable to being nice to you, but not really meaning it. But yes, I need like a David Goggins in my life, I think, just to abuse me. Let's do some slight quickfire questions now. So first, any new habits that you're trying to like add to your life with some regularity to change things?
Journaling is a new one for me. So, yeah, that.
What does that look like for you? Like, what kind of journaling?
So, I never knew what to write. I would sit there with a notepad, and I got one in front of me now, and I just wouldn't know what to write. Or if I did write something, I'd be so scared that my wife would read it that I wouldn't write it
Oh,
down.
you need one of those like teenage ones, a little tiny padlock on, don't
Well,
you?
yeah, I do. But what I do now is I scribble it out, I make it illegible because I'm still getting the words to the paper. I'm not there to read it back. So it's illegible, and then I will burn it. And there's something really nice about burning it. It's like a, oof, like letting that go. So that's a new habit that I'm building in.
God, that's intense. Like your neighbors, I wouldn't know what's this witchcraft this guy's going on. Cool. And what would you tell yourself if you met your pre-dad self? What advice might you give to your pre-dad self? It doesn't need to be fitness related.
Well, I could go deep with this. I think it's I have a thing about not being enough, right? So my whole life, I'm always like, what's next? What's next? Super competitive. I think it would be kind of like, you're doing all right. Like, you're enough.
Nice. Nice. What made you the best fireman in not the fittest fireman in 2024? What about your body? Do you think
No,
mate
not that.
allowed you to
No,
win?
not that. It was it's actually pretty rubbish. It's basically a mile and a half run. Who can do it in the fastest amount of time?
Oh, I
That's
thought it was
it.
like I was just imagining like a physical 500 thing or
No,
physical 100.
they like take the entire like fire brigade or whatever, and they kind of look at who run the best time for what particular race group and everything like that. So yeah, no,
Oh,
it's
I'm gutted.
not
You've
that.
ruined that image I had in my head of that.
Sorry, mate.
Now, how do you decide like what's actually worth? Because you do a lot. Like, how do you decide what's worth your time and what isn't?
In life or training?
Both, like just in the 24 hours that you have in a day.
The things that give me the most buoyancy are the things that I would prioritize. So I love doing what I do for a living, so I need to prioritize that. Like I know that I'm not a great man when I don't train and I don't have the outlet, so I prioritize that. And then like trying to connect to my partner as much as possible. Like as long as you kind of have my physical self down, the connection with my partner, and showing up for work and being as present as possible. And the subset of all that is I become more present with my kids, and that's it.
Nice. And then what last message would you give to any dads who are still tuned in to help them get their dad life or physical bodies into gear?
I think dads in particular are stuck, and I think they need to hear that they have full autonomy to be able to take back their physicality. Like there is nothing honorable about having a dad bod and not doing anything about it. I think a lot of men need to be told that if you're not happy, do something about it. Like do something about it. And 99% of you have that capacity. So I would love for you all to just step out of your comfort zone, step out of a rut, accept it's going to be difficult, and start moving the needle.
Nice. Now that would be a wonderful way to end, but I do have a slight follow-up question. about like what body do you want now? Because I found it changed. Like when I was younger, like there was, you know, the initial I want to be like Brad Pitt Fight Club. Which I got to when I was like back in like my modeling age when I was like 21, 22. So that, then it was like I want to be like big and powerful and rah. Then it went to like, with it, when I became a dad, it was I want to be healthy, but I just want to be as big as possible. I don't care about toning. I just want to look like a monster that can scare other people away. Now it's just back to I need to just get fitter and sort myself out again. But yeah. What has your image of what you want a dad bod to be in terms of like your bod? Do you want something different now?
I think it's, you know, your body is an instrument, not an ornament. You know, I actually believe that. Like the older I get, the more kids that I have, the less interested I am about how I look physically. I know that if I can lift 500 kilos of bench press, deadlift and back squat combined, and I can run a sub 20 minute 5K, then the body composition will look after itself.
Nice. Cool. And then look a little bit scary as well. It's always useful, isn't it?
Just and looking a little bit scary, yeah.
And tell us where people can find you and what anything you got going on that people could participate in.
Yeah, so Instagram, you know, Rory_strongdad. Feel free to kind of have a look on there. That would be the main thing. I'm looking at starting up my own podcast as well, just getting other dads talking about their sort of experiences and stuff like that. So we haven't actually set that up yet, but something I'm actually looking to do this week, coincidentally. So yeah, just through Instagram, probably the best way to get hold of me.
Nice. Thank you so much, man.
You're welcome. Thank you. Honestly Unbalanced.